Please come to order with members of the vote to signify their presence. Have all members voted this morning? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 14 senators present this morning. Senators Vic Fisher, Paul Fisher, Pettyjohn, and Rohde are absent due to mechanical and anguish.
Yes, we were informed that the airplane had some problems, so they're going to be late. They'll be about an hour late. You have the floor, Senator Ray.
You mean this is another time they couldn't get out of Anchorage to get to the Capitol?
Rank sectionalism. Senator Sackett. Senator Sackett has arrived. Can we stand for the invocation, please?
O God, our help in days gone by, our hope in days to be, look down upon this present moment and see our need for thee. For in this age of do's and don'ts and wills and won'ts, we need thy hand to lead us, to love us, and to make us more aware that our safety and our security lies entirely in thy care. Today, as these men and women labor here, I pray they'd feel your presence near. These things I pray in thy precious name. Amen.
Mr. President.
The floor, Senator.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Mr. President, I move to be counted as present.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 47th, 48th, and 49th legislative days.
Since I move that the journals for the 47th, 48th, and 49th legislative days be approved as certified.
No objection. So ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning? You have the floor, Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, it's my pleasure to introduce a number of women with us this morning. I'll ask them please to rise so we can recognize them properly. Joyce Rivers, Mia Mintz, Mary Afghan Radcliffe, Gina Hollenbeck, Maggie Carter, Patty Zachary, Sarah Toney, Vera Hollingshead, Bonnie Nelson, Lydia Kleiner, Margaret Green, Mary Ballou, Chris Martin, Bonnie Bordecker, I believe that is. Please excuse me if I mispronounce it. Joan Hurst, Dorothy Oz Haglin. And Dorothy was in the 23rd and final territorial legislature, so I certainly want to bring that to your attention. Becky Crone, Gertrude Levy, former Senator Jeannie Chance, and her daughter, Jane Blankenship. Welcome this morning.
You have the floor.
Yes, just might make a note that the Eileen Sackett and Bonnie Bodecker are the co-chair of the Alaska Women's Political Caucus. They were earlier introduced, but they've been coordinating this function, and other groups are part of it. But I know they'll be talking to a lot of us in the next couple of days.
We welcome you here this morning. Senator Chance, as a former member of this body, you have the privilege of this floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to express my appreciation to all of you for your service. Along with the other Latinos, I appreciate your integrity, your honesty, and your diligence in your work.
Very good to see you this morning. Are the messages from the governor? You have the floor, Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, a good friend of Senator Halford and mine from Eagle River, a woman that's been head of the Eagle River Republican Party and active in several civic affairs there, Mrs. Barbara Franklin.
You You have the floor, Senator.
Earlier we had the prayer spread upon the journal. Perhaps Senator Chance's remarks could be spread upon the journal.
Are there messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
There is a message from the House.
Message of March 4. The House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution No. 19, Fisheries, by the Special Committee on Fisheries, relating to United States observers on foreign fishing vessels.
Resources.
That is the only message from the House.
Are there communications?
There are no communications today.
Are there reports of standing committees?
The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill No. 96, Special Appropriations to Department of Health and Social Services for Inoculations for Hepatitis B, and recommends that it be calendared on March 7. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Ray, Bennett, Kelly, and Ferguson. This bill does appear on today's calendar. That is the only standing committee report.
Are there reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
There are bills for introduction this morning. There is a bill for introduction.
Senate Bill No. 162 by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, an act making supplemental and special appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date.
To the Senate Finance Committee.
That is the only new bill.
Takes us to the daily calendar. Will the Secretary read Senate Bill 96 by title?
Senate Bill No. 96 by Senator Sackett, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for inoculations for hepatitis B and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring, Senator Vic Fisher and Senator Paul Fisher. Senator Halford signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommended that it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title and do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Josephson, Fakes, Vic Fisher, Ferguson, and Sackett. There is a committee substitute.
To the committee substitute, Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the committee substitute.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 96, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act reducing a fiscal year 1983 appropriation and making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for inoculations for hepatitis B and providing for an effective date.
President.
Senator Ray.
There is a title change, sir.
Yes. Senator Sackett, do you wish to move the title change at this time?
Move the title
change. Unanimous consent has been asked. Any objection? Title change as acknowledged and reported.
There are no amendments.
The absence of amendments. Senator Ray.
There are no amendments, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 96 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
No objection, so ordered. Will the Secretary read the bill by title?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 96, Finance, an act reducing a fiscal year 1983 appropriation and making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for inoculations for hepatitis B and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion, debate. Senator Sackett has the floor.
Mr. President, this is a reappropriation of funds that we presently have in the Department of Health and Social Services in the permanent fund hold harmless portion of that. Last year, we appropriated $12.6 million. To this specific use, and they indicate that they have a balance left over there of $2,152,100 that we can reappropriate. So we've taken $250,000 and used it for the hepatitis B supplemental appropriation. The total that the state will be asked to appropriate for hepatitis for the epidemic is $250,000 FY83. $500,000 FY84, $600,000 FY85, and $700,000 each for FYs 86 and 87. In addition to that, the Indian Health Service, federal, has an appropriation presently of $1 million, which they're going to be using in FY83, which will be combined with our $250,000. In FY84, they've requested $1 million. They already have $500,000 of that appropriated, and we've written a letter to Senator Stevens asking for the additional $500,000 for FY84. And then they have a request in also for another $1 million for FY85. Both Department of Health and Social Services and the Indian Health Service feels that these funds will be sufficient with the combined totals to eradicate and stop the epidemic that's occurring.
Is there further discussion, debate? Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I think it's noteworthy that there's a member of the other body that has contacted hepatitis B. So lest anybody think that this is just for one group or one segment in this community or in the state, I thought I'd just bring that point up.
Thank you very much. No further debate. What's your pleasure? The question. The question is called for. The question is, shall Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 96 be adopted in the Senate? May proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 4 absent.
I apologize. I did not ask if anyone wished to change his or her vote. No one wished to change their vote. You have the floor, Senator? Void the vote. We have an adies. The question is, shall Senate Bill 96 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary, close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 4 absent.
Senate Bill 96 passed the Senate. Senator Ray.
I move that and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 96 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Senate Bill 96, effective date clause has been adopted.
Mr. President?
You have the floor, Senator.
Take up my reconsideration of Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 166 at this time.
Reconsideration notice. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate CS for House Bill number 166 rules an act making special and supplemental appropriations for oil and gas matters and providing for an effective date on reconsideration.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent to hold my reconsideration over for 1 month's late date.
An objection, so ordered. Are there items under unfinished business this Monday morning? Senator Moss.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to co-sponsor Senate Bill 20 and Senate Bill 154.
Permission of your primary sponsor. There's no objection. You have be done.
And, Mr. President, I'd like to have a brief at ease so the pages can distribute a document that I will be referring to under special orders.
Yes, there's no objection. We'll be at ease. So, their announcement of committee meetings at this time? You have the floor.
Unfinished business.
Under unfinished business, without objection.
Yes, with consent of the sponsor, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor to SB 132, which is an act establishing the Alaska Administrative Journal.
You have the floor, Senator Lyason, under unfinished.
Under old business, I'd like to report from the committee that you sent the governor last Friday relative to the Fairbanks-Anchorage intertie. There was some concern that APA might sign that contract before the legislature had a chance to review the procedures that were followed in awarding or in proposals. The governor was quite concerned also. He assured us that they had 60 days to ratify the contract and he would support our efforts to hold extensive hearings into that matter and not sign the contract until those had been accomplished.
Thank you very, very much for your report. I understand there is a message on every senator's desk on this subject also. Announcement of committee meetings. Are there announcements of committee meetings at this time? Resources Chairperson.
Mr. President, today at 2 o'clock in Senate Finance, we'll be meeting with the Joint Oil and Gas Committee and Resources for a briefing on the Booz Allen report on the gas line. Also, 3 o'clock in the Belch Room, we'll be hearing by the Resources Committee on SB 43, an act granting homesteads to Alaska citizens, and SB 102, an act relating to homesteads. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. in House Resources, there'll be with the Joint Oil and Gas Committee, there'll be a briefing by the Department of Minerals and Energy Management on the leasing procedures. And on Wednesday from 3 to 4:30 in Belk's room, Resources will be hearing Senate Bill 124, an act amending the Alaska Agriculture Loan Act, and have a briefing by the Noranda Corporation on the Admiralty Island Greens Creek mining project. Of course, all senators invited to attend any of those meetings.
Further announcement of committee meetings, rules chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Parrott, President. The Rules Committee will meet Wednesday, March 9th at 12:30 in the Butchervich Room. This will be a joint Rules Committee meeting on special Senate Concurrent Resolution 1, disapproving the Executive Order Number 53. The following are finance subcommittees on Monday, March 7th at 4 p.m. in the Senate Finance Committee Room. Department of Community Regional Affairs, the Division of Administrative Services, the budget will be heard. On Tuesday, March 8th at 4 p.m. in the Senate Finance Committee Room, Department of Health and Social Services, the Public Assistance Division will be heard. On Wednesday, March 10th at 4 p.m. in the Senate Finance Committee Room, a wrap-up of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs budget will be heard at that time. On Thursday, March 10th at 4 p.m. in the Senate Finance Committee Room, Department of Health and Social Services Mental Health Division. And on Thursday, March 10th at noon in the Belt Room, the Special Committee on Legislative Reform will be meeting.
Under right.
The Judiciary Committee will meet at 1:30 today on Senate Joint Resolution 1, Equal Rights Amendment.
1:30 today. Further announcement of committee meetings? If there are no further announcement of committee meetings, it takes us to special orders. Are there items under special orders? Senator Fahrenkamp has the floor.
Mr. President, as you know, and the members of this body know, I expressed some serious concerns over the state contracting procedures as they provided for Alaska Hire. I noticed in last week's New York Times that in the case of the Supreme Court has overturned a ruling that would affect us in that with the City of Boston's requirements that contractors on city-funded contracts project hire as a certain percentage of their workers from residents of the city. Well, the Supreme Court has overturned the lower court on that and ruled that you can have requirements for local hire. In light of that Supreme Court ruling, it reinforces the power of the state of Alaska to deal with unemployment, Mr. President, and I think this is a good time for us to look into considerations of amending our bidder preference laws to protect the local hire requirements.
Was that with all state funding? Is that
either state or federal funding?
Thank you very much. Senator Moss, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to speak on gag orders.
Is there objection to Senator Moss and special orders on a particular subject? There being no objection, Senator Moss has the floor.
Mr. President, I brought to your and this body's attention here earlier a DOT gag order from Juneau with a question mark headline on the Daily News Miner. And then later on, there was another article the following day, in fact, that says DOT denies gag order. There never has been and never will be a gag order on State Department of Transportation Public Facilities employees. This was in response to some DOT employees' concerns, Mr. President, that they might get in hot water if they talk to the wrong people. I've placed on each senator's desk a memorandum that I've been trying to get my hands on for quite some time. The word kept coming back to me that I can't talk to you, Pappy, because I'm going to lose my job. So part of this, it's dated January the 11th, and it's to the legislative liaisons, executive branch from Emil Noddy, legislative assistant to the governor. It didn't come out of DOT as I thought at first. It came out of the head shed. And basically, it says the departments should be represented by their commissioner and our deputy commissioners. Legislators do not want executive do not want to be lobbied by a host of executive branch personnel. No, I certainly don't, not anymore, because I don't think they're telling the truth, because they told me that they didn't have a gag order, and I think this is a gag order. It says, if formal testimony is prepared, please forward a copy to this office. Please hand your formal testimony to the committee chairpersons, not committee members, unless it's instructed otherwise. I don't know, do you guys have any problems with having stuff handed to you when you're not chairman? And here's the third item here, Mr. President. It says, do not testify in opposition to the governor's policy. Either modify your testimony to support the governor's policy or convince the governor to change his. And you know how much that's going to take. It says, however, in a case of disagreement, it should be resolved prior to testimony. We are all working for attainment of Governor Sheffield's policies, and a unified voice is important. Hey, all of you follow in line. This means every one of you people is working for the state. I think he's talking to us, too. Executive branch personnel will not be permitted in and around legislative offices unless invited for testimony at committee hearings. So if you've got anybody down there other than the people that's been approved by the governor to come in and testify, they're in hot water. They're going to lose their job, apparently. I don't blame them for being scared to talk to me on the street, even. We will be monitoring legislative sessions and can provide you with the information you need. So perhaps, Mr. President, what I'm doing now is I'm talking to these other state employees and tell them perhaps they can come talk to me sometime, anytime they want to. Your role as legislative liaison is to coordinate activities and information for your department. Specific duties include monitoring any legislation and so forth. But, Mr. President, what all this boils down to me is I think this is a gag rule. You better be careful if you're a state employee if you bring out any information. And as a result of that, I have some other things that I can't confirm 100%. Because I can't get people to talk to me, but I'm going to bring it out anyway. It has to do with misappropriations by DOT of funds that have been allocated for a specific item. And I hate to bring up this word here because it's going to stir up a problem or two, perhaps. Latouche Island. It would be interesting, Mr. President, if I could find out how much money has been taken out of the Latouche Island appropriation that went in last year and put over in Sand Point to finish up. It was a 1972 bond issue that was in some $460,000, $470,000 that all of a sudden when they got ready to pay off the bill for the Sand Point deal, they couldn't find enough money to pay it. My information is that they moved it from Latouche Island. The recent appropriation was made last year. Mr. President, the reason I bring this up is because I find that there seems to be a lot of appropriations sliding all around into other areas. I would ask this body to consider the possibility of an outside audit of the DOT and the appropriations, where their money is and what they're doing with it. Mr. President, I can't tell heads and tails out of that department. I can't find enough information that I consider information that was passed on to me in the light that we asked for it. We want to know the whole story, not half stories and cover-ups. And I'm actually saying that I think there's some cover-ups, Mr. President, in DOT at this time, and I ask that you consider the possibility of an outside audit of all the funds in DOT at this time. Thank you, sir.
Significance of the senator's request should not be lost on the Senate. I will respond subsequently. Senator Moss, we're at ease. Back to order. Senator Joseph with the floor.
Mr. President, may I,
under special order, Senator?
On the same subject, may I have unanimous consent to address the same subject?
Yes, of course.
Mr. President, I would simply like to follow the remarks of the senator from Delta Junction by saying that I will be chairing the subcommittee of the Finance Committee on Transportation and will notify the senator and other senators of our subcommittee meetings and would be pleased to entertain such inquiries or requests as the senator may have as we review the Transportation Department budget. And in the connection with those remarks, I might say, as I understand the thrust of them, the concern is that the senator was told that there were no restrictions on contact, and the memorandum of January 11 points out that some restrictions appear to have been made from the office of the governor, if not within the department. I think that is the thrust of the senator's concerns. I think we recognize probably that all administrations would wish to monitor contact between the branches and to make sure that the executive officials conform to policy to the governor. But insofar as the senator feels that he may have been misinformed, I appreciate his observations. Thank you.
All right,
Mr. President, special orders on the same topic.
Without objection.
Mr. President, I understand exactly what the senator is talking about, and yet I am in a way sympathetic to the administration in certain respects, and those respects are in a correlation or an analogy. I tell my staff what to do. I tell them who they talk to and who they don't talk to, and I tell them exactly that it's my voice that comes out of my office and nobody else's idea. However, I do take exception to the fact in here that it says that the executive personnel, branch personnel, will not be permitted in and around legislative offices unless invited for testimony at committee hearings. Now, I would suggest to the legislative assistant, the governor, or whoever's putting out this, that if there's any state employee that I want to talk to and I ask to come to my office, he better prepare to come be there, and he better be prepared to give me the correct testimony or answer the questions that I ask him in my office. Or do anything less is a disservice to the legislature.
Or at least bring you his PCN number so you can give it to Senator Joseph.
Bring him a PCN number, and we'll find out where he belongs. I think this is the idea is acceptable. The way it was drafted did cause me considerable concerns, just like it did Senator Mott. And I would suggest that they learn a little more protocol and a little more finesse before they put out things like this.
Senator Fahrenkamp has noted that the Budget and Audit Committee does have responsibilities here, and I suggest Senator Mott, before any further pursuit of the question of transference, that Senator Josephson, who has the budget responsibility, check out that request. If we can't arrive at an answer, then we'll pursue it. Senator Ray.
Business come before the Senate.
Are there other items, special orders? You have the floor, Senator.
Yes. Move and ask unanimous consent I'd be allowed to address the body on a matter dealing with the close-up program.
You have the floor, Senator.
After that discussion, perhaps it seems like a rather minor thing, but Senator Moss and I do serve on the advisory committee for the close-up program, and we've all seen the kids in the halls and meeting and going ahead with the program, and I was privileged to be able to talk to a group of them on Friday night, and a young man from St. Mary's who has participated the past week apparently had a lot to do. The kids need to come in and talk about their region, and he was very much took the lead on developing a slideshow that told about his community and his region. But I understand that he was a very quiet young man and did a lot of listening and observing, but didn't do much in the way of taking part. Anyhow, during the time apparently I was speaking, he wrote something out, and afterwards he came up to me and asked if I would read this on the floor, and apparently he was very touched by what had happened, and if I may, I'd like to share it with a fellow senators. He said, I was with the close-up program from February 28th to March 5th. In a little time, I observed the House and the Senate in action. Well, it really stirred something in me. I really wanted to do something, but I didn't know what. I plan to join the Navy after I graduate from high school. When my time is up in the Navy, I plan to come back to Alaska, and I really don't know what happens then. But as I said, something woke up inside me while watching the two houses working. So until then, work not only for the benefit of your people, but for the great state of Alaska. Sincerely, John Long, Jr., St. Mary's, Alaska. Apparently that young man was reached, and it'll be interesting to see what impact that might have on his future direction. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Bennett?
Thank you. I'd ask unanimous consent we return to committee announcements.
Objection or committee announcements?
The Finance Committee will continue at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with Senate Bill 152. Also, if there is time, we'll pick up 86, an act relating to compensation for victims of violent crimes. These have all been previously announced, but should any of the members care to be there, they should be more than welcome.
Give the floor, Senator. Obedient. House, Senate, please come back to order. Senator Ray. Third announcement.
Celebration of the International Women's Day, the Juvenile Prevention Organization of Women, now, especially with the Southeast Church. The Regional Women's Conference and the Alaska Women's Political Conference flyer and personally invite the Senate to accept the Alaska State Legislators and their staff.
Six to 8 p.m. tonight. Are there other items this morning? Senator Ray.
There's no other business come before the Senate, Mr. President. I move we adjourn at 10 a.m. Tuesday, March 8th.
Senate has adjourned.